It's time for Done Being Single with your hosts, Trevor and Robbie Scharf. If you're dating the same type over and over again, making the same mistakes and not finding love, then you're not done being single. What you need is some tough love dating intervention, Trevor and Robbie style. Whether you're new to dating or have been dating forever, we've got you covered. Now, here are your hosts, Trevor and Robbie Scharf.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to Done Being Single headquarters.
Yes.
Mission Control.
Right here, Beverly Hills,
Command
California.
Command Center.
Yes.
Undisclosed location. Shh. You said Beverly Hills. Oh, well, too late.
Now they know. Oh, that narrows it down.
The powerhouse, the epicenter of podcast, relationship podcast glory.
Done Being Single world.
Nice to see you.
Nice to be seen.
Nice to see you too. Not in a hospital.
Well, yes. Okay. So, for those that don't know, I had a little minor brain surgery 8 weeks ago yesterday, and I am, you know, about 90% recovered.
What'd you do?
I did nothing.
Well, what'd they do?
They removed a little tumor from my pituitary gland, which is always a lovely thing to have done, but I was having some hormonal issues and
menopause.
Yeah, a little bit of that.
Welcome to the club.
I think it was
welcome to my world hormonal.
Yeah. Right. What do they call that when it was like a contact high from you or something?
By association.
Right, something about that. So, but I am about, I would say, 90% there. I actually have my taste and smell.
Great.
Sense of smell.
So you didn't lose your taste for me.
No, so you have to start taking showers again. Because, yes, that's how that
that's
works.
That's not even a joke, you guys.
It actually is.
She was testing me
the past few weeks.
I went like this.
With her pits, and I would go, nope, can't smell it. And she goes, yay! So it's been a wonderful 2 months for my wife.
Because I didn't shower for 2 months.
And I didn't know it. I know it now.
Oh, well,
all right.
Those were the good old days.
How have you been?
When I could smell. I mean, when I could smell and you couldn't smell. I'm good. Okay. I'm good. I was happy to look over you, after you.
Over me.
Watch over you.
Thank you for your
I went into
care.
Full nurse mode.
Full nurse mode. And yeah. As I like to say, Treba has three things in her medicine chest that she travels with. Aspirin, a thermometer, and a hot water bottle. And if those three things can't cure all ills,
they do.
There is nothing that can do that.
I'm old school.
Well,
haven't you heard of old wives?
She's so funny. Anything
I am an old wife.
Takes my temperature immediately. Takes some aspirin. All right, hot water bottle.
What else do you need?
I guess that was how you were brought up, right?
Yeah. Well, it worked.
I'm here.
You don't need fancy schmancy bells and whistles.
No.
Okay.
Okay.
So good anyway, Nurse Ratchet, just call me.
Ratchet is correct. Okay.
So we're back to business here.
Oh.
Do you mind?
A little.
We change the subject from you?
What?
Because usually it's all about...
Yeah.
All about...
What? You know,
We're a little...
Not about you.
Okay. Well, it is all about you. You know that it always has been.
But today, it's not. It's about the show. And
slightly.
And this is... A subject near and dear to my heart. I don't want to say near and dear because it's kind of...
Yeah, what's so near and dear?
Well, because, you know, when you're single long enough, the question, you get into relationships, some last, some don't, some are great, some suck. And there's always that moment where you say, when it's on the, you know, not so great, should I stay or should I go? Right?
Okay.
And cue the song. Should I stay or should
I
go now?
Open.
Come on.
Clash.
Should I stay or should I go now? If I stay, it will be trouble. Or is it... If I stay, it will be double.
Okay, enough. Otherwise, you have to pay publishing royalties. Okay.
So it's should I stay or should I go? We all have been faced with that moment of truth, right? Where yeah, let's come on. This is worth fighting for, hanging in there for,
right.
Or this is just, uh-uh. And I need to cut bait.
And you know what happens when you do that? You are out of there.
Right. Right, exactly.
Okay, we know about that.
Okay, so today, our guest, I wrote, you know what? Every time the papers fall off the desk, I catch them between my legs.
At least something's getting caught there.
My knees just go. Anyway, back to me.
Let me tell you, I've been there.
When
your knees do that.
I wrote a blog called Stop Waiting for People to Love You. And so I've been on this topic for quite a while. And I came across an article by one of our returning champs, Crystal Jackson, who is our guest today. And she wrote an article called Perfecting the Art of Letting People Leave Who Don't Love You. And I thought, this is worthy of an episode. And we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about whether to stay or go. Before we bring Crystal on, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Crystal. Jackson is a former therapist and author of The Heart of Madison, Contemporary Small Town Romance Series. Her work on relationships and mental health has been featured on Medium, Elite Daily, Thought Catalog, The Good Men Project, and Elephant Journal. Let's bring Crystal on.
Crystal, are you there? Hello, Crystal.
It's so great to be back.
It's great to have you.
Yeah, Crystal's an old timer. Crystal was on the show when we first.
Way back when.
Yeah, and she was awesome. And I read you all the time, and she's prolific.
Oh, I love that.
I got to tell you, you are like the thing to go on Medium for. I mean, see, your dog agrees.
He does.
You're an incredible writer. You are prolific. I love your work. It's fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Anyway, as I was mentioning in our little preamble, one of your pieces, Perfecting the Art of Letting People Leave Who Don't Love You, really, really resonated with me. And I want to just read a few passages and then, you know, let's talk about it, okay?
Yeah, cool? I love
that. Sure.
Okay. I'm perfecting the art of letting people leave who don't love me. Not just lovers, even friends. There's the door. My love has no strings, no pre-existing conditions beyond mutual appreciation. I'm not blocking the exit or bolting the gates. Let's talk about that.
That is a lesson that was very hard for me to learn. I did not have great boundaries, so I would keep letting people in long after a relationship had run its course, and that could have been a friendship or a romantic relationship or even a family connection. And it took me too long, and some could argue, to finally learn the lesson that when you're not getting the respect and the kindness and the treatment that you deserve, there are times that you can just love someone better from afar and take yourself out of the relationship equation. And sometimes relationships have just really run their course. So I've started to love people without strings, but also with the understanding that I don't have to stay when there's not love coming back to me. I don't just have to stay and keep loving them. So that piece was particularly difficult to write at the time that I wrote it. But it's what I needed to hear. And it's the answer that I needed to come to.
I hear you with the friends too. This definitely includes friends. That is almost, because I've had a few go, or rather I've had to let a few go. And that's almost as painful and heartbreaking as a love relationship. Friends are just, to me, like that's next, when you got to let go of a friend.
I think it's more,
disappointing
because it lasts longer. A past romantic relationship, you can get over that, I think, easier than a friendship that was really close that you have to get out of.
Yeah, and sometimes you have to say goodbye. It's not doing it for you. You're getting taken advantage of. They don't appreciate you. You know, same thing, same for the same reasons why you would stop end a relationship. You. Oh yeah, trust, effort, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Super hard. And then, but there is that moment where you have to say, is this worth it? Should I hang in there? Should I keep fighting? Should I keep working this and try to make it better? Try to find something in this to keep it together? It's a tough call. Did you say that?
Yes.
Have you had some of those?
Of course.
Okay.
But once I make the decision, I'm out of there. I figure out a way to...
You never turn back. You never look back.
No, I don't.
You're done.
There was a relationship or two that, you know, there may have been a breakup and we got back together for a little bit, but then, you know, it didn't last. But for the most part, if I knew it was not right, I'm out of there.
Okay. Me too, for the most part. However, I have overstayed my welcome. I have.
I'm very familiar with doing that.
For good reasons, by the way.
Well,
I had good intentions.
Did you want to fix that person, fix the relationship, fix the person?
Oh, yes.
Which you know you can't do.
Oh, for sure. You know, you whatever it is that is on the line, you know, I got to make this work. I cannot fail. I have put too much time into it. There's a saying, it's called sunk cost fallacy.
Yeah. Well, and then there's the cases where you just love someone so much that you're so busy looking at that fact that you don't look, are they loving me in return? Am I getting the love that I need from this? So you can sit there and love someone and just basically, you know, be pouring into their cup. And meanwhile, yours is sitting there empty and it really depletes you. And there are those kind of situations too, where you just have to really cut and run in the end because it's so damaging to stay in a relationship.
Crystal,
like that.
Why do you think you loved them so much if you weren't getting what you needed in return? What made you continue to think that you loved them? Were you overlooking
I think that my love was unconditional from the beginning. It's not easy for me to fall in love. So when I did, it was all of the parts of him. It was the good things and the bad things and the flaws, and it was all of it. And I have a way of seeing who people are and just really seeing them, even maybe the ugly parts that they try to hide. So I saw all of that and I just fell deeper in love with all of it. The vulnerability that he showed me, but also the kind that he tried not to. And there were some blocks to intimacy there with him. And the further we got in, the more he withdrew. It didn't change my love. Like, my love was unaffected by that. The problem was I wasn't loving myself very well during that time because it was extremely upsetting. At that point, it would have been better for me to acknowledge that the relationship had changed substantially and it's time to do something about it for my own well-being. But I was still stuck in that feeling of I completely love this person. But it was like the more that I got to know him, the more that I loved him, the more he got to know me, I felt like the reverse was true. Like every flaw was, you know, a point against me. And he was probably looking for those. It was, you know, somewhat intentional. But that's hard to love someone that you love unconditionally while they are adding up everything that is wrong about you and everything that they don't like. So in the end, it was a decision that some people you're better off just loving from afar and letting that be something that doesn't hurt you.
Depleting. That's a good word you used.
Yes.
And you don't realize it because you're working so hard, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're so convinced, or you are just on such a, I don't know what it is, like a mission, crusade. And you're working and you're going and you're revving at a really high RPM and you don't realize how exhausting it is. And you don't want to. And if you stopped for a second, you would probably realize, oh shit, this is really not working. But you right? You have your own MO going or your agenda and you're just so insistent on making it work that you don't realize it's just not working.
Well, and I think a lot of times with both friends and romantic relationships, you're getting mixed messages from the other person too, because at the time I was being told, like, this is temporary, this is based on very specific circumstances that were not going to last. So I think I'm being supportive through a difficult time. The difficult time never ended. Like, yeah. It kept going. He kept putting in distance and withdrawing. But here I am thinking, oh, this is a temporary thing where I just need to, you know, like, stand by your man or whatever. This is a terrible idea. Because there's a difference between being supportive in a relationship where someone's giving something back. But I've had friends do the same thing where you don't know why all of a sudden they're being a flaky friend. So you're still investing because you think that you're being supportive through whatever it is that they're going through. And then all of a sudden you realize this isn't temporary. This is who they are. And that's not going to change. And I can't change it. And this is hurting me. And you can really care about somebody while you disconnect. And that's been one of the most painful lessons of saying, like, I can love you. I can appreciate you as a person. I cannot have you in my life hurting me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This isn't good for me anymore.
Okay. I'm going to read again. Okay. This is okay. From your article. This is from your article. There are so many reasons we stay in relationships that make us feel alone and lonely. We can cite childhood trauma, low self-esteem, abandonment issues, or even relationship addiction for why we hold on so tight to someone who's trying their best to either walk away, push us away, or let the relationship fall to ruin with no effort on their part to save it. But there are also reasons we'll leave. I agree entirely with that. I think I've been that. Every one of those things, every one of those points you make kept me in relationships and or friendships that's why I overstayed my welcome, right? That's
well, it's so easy to do.
Yeah. Abandonment, fear of failure, you know, in my case, childhood trauma
is huge, and most people don't deal with their trauma. They don't ever address it. They think that because they tell themselves they're over it, it's fine, and it continues to sabotage all their relationships. And that was the single biggest thing that I did for myself, was going to a trauma therapist and working some of that out, because it released that need to hold on to people who don't love me. I was trying to get needs met from when I was a child, things that I needed that I didn't get. You continue to try to source that your entire life. It doesn't just go away because you think you're over it. And so that was really interesting to me, that childhood trauma could be so significant in staying with someone who's really not good for you or who doesn't really love you.
I think also people are lazy, and it requires work to get out of something. And the thought of starting something new with anybody could be more daunting than staying in something that isn't beneficial to you. And so they stay for that reason and hope that it might get better, but it usually doesn't. And they eventually do have to make that break. But early on, when those signs show themselves, they don't make that move at that time.
Did you ever have a relationship where you believed in it, you loved the person enough but you felt it wasn't working and your heart, you knew it wasn't going to, and yet you don't look at me.
Darn, she read my mind so well.
Did you ever have one of those where you hung in longer? Did you overstay your welcome? Did you, when you kind of knew, but you'd loved her and
no,
you just felt
I don't think I did. I think that when I realized it was not for me, I had to have a plan to get out quickly.
And when you did get out, what did they do? Beg, cry?
Fought, understood, agreed, and let me out.
Okay.
I only dated a couple of psychos that didn't agree with that.
It was very hard for me to leave sometimes. I mean, I'm like you. I can pretty much cut bait fairly fast when I know that's just, it's, you know, not
going to... No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
You've told me too many times about guys you stayed with?
Because I didn't, no, the ones that I truly had feelings for, but there were others that, you know, it wasn't that deep or meaningful. No, the ones, you know, like later in my 40s, those were hard because that was a hard, those were hard years for me. Because I, at that point, I really did want to settle down and I really did want to get married. And I just kept meeting guys that weren't available. And I thought, so I thought, silly me, you know, I can change them, fix them. I can love them into loving me in some way and change their mind.
That doesn't work.
No, it didn't. And it's not... you know, it's, Robbie's right. It, people do get lazy. They get complacent. They get comfortable. And I think that if something is okay enough or comfortable enough, people will stay to avoid maybe the discomfort or the pain of breaking up or hurting feelings or having to go back out there again and start all over, right? I think that was a lot of what I encountered. I think that I was a fine enough girlfriend, but I guess not enough. And at some point, probably, I don't want to say too late, because I kind of got the feeling like, this ain't going anywhere. This is probably a dead end, and I'm sorry, I have to go. And I there were many times where I felt like, I'm going to saw off my own arm here, but I've got to do this
and what
for,
the guys
for
do.
My greater good.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
They're going, God,
no,
that was
no,
easy.
No. There were tears shed. There was, you know, tearful goodbyes.
And what about them? So
them too. Okay. No, it wasn't just, it, I mean, you know.
Okay.
It wasn't all a shit show. It wasn't all for nothing. I did have meaningful and substantial, substantive relationships. But for whatever reason, they just didn't work and go the distance. And but when I knew it was always on me to end it, I always felt like they're not going to do it. They're just going to make it so untenable or so unpleasant or so.
Well, they may not have been feeling the same
that,
thing you
right,
were.
That they left me no other choice than to exit, to extricate myself, which I did, because at the end of the day, because really at the. At the end of the day,
Jesus Christ. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'm making a very important point.
Okay.
It just takes me a while to get there.
Nip it in the bud.
I'm trying. At the end of the day, Crystal, and viewers, and listeners,
all six of you,
it is all about honoring your highest good. Okay, bottom line, full stop. Okay,
can we change?
Crystal, go ahead.
Now, I've been in that too, where someone made it extremely difficult for you to stay, so then you have to be the one to end it, because then you have to be the bad guy and they get to be the victim of the cruel heartbreaker. And that's such an interesting thing to do when you realize you should just get out, for someone to make it, to make you leave, so they don't have to be the one to do it. It's such a painful thing to experience. But I think it's painful no matter where you, what side you're on, honestly.
It is. You're right. It's not easy for either person.
Okay. I'm going to continue. Okay.
There's more?
No, it's not my... It's not all about me here.
No.
Okay. I've come to understand that life is richer when we stop begging other people to love and appreciate us. When we let those people go, we can invest in the relationships that see our value. We can devote our energy to something other than trying desperately to figure out why someone we love couldn't love us. What say you, Crystal?
There's so much energy that goes into trying to make a wrong fit right, you know, really trying to force that compatibility and trying to make your life goals line up and to make someone who's not really in it be as in it as you are. Like, that takes so much energy and it's exhausting. And we can't really love ourselves and take care of ourselves while we're doing that, because we're far too busy trying to take care of them and their needs.
Yeah.
And it's just really harmful. And it can go on for so long. And I feel like this is a lesson that I repeated time and time again until I finally learned it. And I could say, you know, I really like this person. I enjoy their company. We do have some areas where we're compatible, but overall, this isn't going to work. And I got better about doing that earlier, more directly, being really kind about it and just saying, this isn't going to work. And it's not a thing that's personal, and it doesn't say anything about their character or mine. It's just, this is not a good match, because I've seen what happens when you just put all your energy and effort into the wrong person. You make yourself unavailable for the right person, first of all, because you're off the market. You're not really available. By the time you are available again, you have to recover from that relationship.
Yes.
So I don't want to say it's a waste of time. You learn a lot from it, but we're really meant to learn those lessons like the first time, not just keep repeating them in cycles with every relationship.
Crystal, was there
No, I think that's it. That if we learn the lessons the first time, the next relationship, we learn new lessons. But, you know, if you're one of those people who have to learn everything the hard way, like myself, you repeat several relationships with the same patterns before it finally gets through your very thick skull. That,
yeah, no, you're not alone.
That there was something you needed to take from that.
Yeah, you know.
I get it. You're
preaching to the choir over here.
I'm sorry. Was there ever a relationship that you tried to fix that got fixed? At least for a little bit?
I think the one that I spent the most time and energy into, and that I had the most love for a while, I do think that it was healthy and helpful that I practiced confronting problems in a way I hadn't done in prior relationships. So I would say, you know, I need to talk about this thing. This is how I feel about it. Sometimes he would get defensive and I could pull it back to like, I need you to hear me. I'm not attacking you. It really helped me learn to communicate better. It made him feel heard. So I think there were some really good skills learned in that relationship. And for a while, it seemed like we might get through it. If you just look at just the pure black and white facts, we had everything that it took to make a relationship work, except his willingness to do the things that he would need to do to make it happen. And I couldn't do it by myself. But I do think that for a while, putting in that effort, it did make the relationship healthier. It just couldn't sustain it in the long term. I think with the right partner, if they are just going through something temporary, or, you know, it is a situation where they are invested enough in the relationship, even if they don't seem like it, that they're willing to step up. I think that it can happen. But how rare is that?
Well,
I mean, how many stories do you hear where that actually happens?
Yeah, I think it is rare. But I think what you're saying, though, is that you're not jumping ship at the first sign of something that isn't feeling good. You're going to put some effort into trying to make it work for the two of you on a repeated basis before you realize I'm hitting my head against the wall and nothing's coming back. And it's not healthy for me anymore, and I need to get out of this. But I think we all probably are guilty of trying to correct something that wasn't feeling good, and that works up until a point.
Okay, so what is that moment where you say, should I stay or should I go? What is that moment of truth? I can tell you what it is for me. I think it's that realization, that question I have to ask myself, there's two things. Do I feel safe? Does this person make me feel safe and secure? And do we have a shared vision of the future? And those two things kind of go together. And if the answer is no, and we don't, that is my, I'm, you know, should I will go. That's my, you know, cue to go. What about you?
Yes.
What's your, no, what's that moment? Should I stay or should I go?
I think if you have requested suggested a change in a behavior or the way you guys are communicating, so it's more inclusive or just makes more sense for both of you or more loving, and it's not happening, you're not seeing a result from that on a repeated basis, that's the time. It's,
Did you say, okay, quietly, privately to yourself, I'm going to give her X amount more chances, or I'm going to wait X amount more months to see if the situation changes,
Okay. Never put a time frame on it. I never looked at it that way at a time frame where I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to give her 2 more weeks. No, it's either there or it's not.
Okay. Crystal, your bottom line, or when you bottomed out, what happened?
I think it's that looking at, for me, the relationship that was the most painful was underlining my trauma. It was reinforcing that it didn't make me feel safe. I didn't feel loved and accepted as I was. I didn't feel valued as much as tolerated, which is significant. So there was that where the bad side started to outweigh the good of staying. But I think with newer connections and meeting new people, it really is what you said about that shared vision of the future, where you say, well, this is what I want, and they tell you what they want, or, you know, however that works. And you figure out if it's even consistent. It's so much easier to stop it before it develops into something more, to go ahead and get that out of the way early and talk about what your needs are and what your expectations are in relationships and what you're really looking for, and see if that person, not looking at them to try to, you know, check off a list and try to line up their qualities, but just seeing everything as it is and saying, does this person have what it takes? Do they have the relationship skills mm-hmm. to do this? Do we want the same things? And for me, in early parts of relationships, it's so much easier to say, I'm sorry, we're just not compatible. But I think after it's progressed and you have that attachment and the feelings, it does come down to, I'm not getting what I need from this. I'm putting all of myself in. Right. I'm not getting anything back. It's depleting and I need to go.
That's kind of like when you have to love yourself more than you love them.
Yes. Which is hard sometimes. It's easier to love other people. You know, we're the hardest on ourselves. It's so hard to say, I love myself enough right now to be lonely because there's not that match for me. Yeah. I love myself enough to let go of someone I love and love them from a distance, love them with no contact, love them with nothing but a thought into the universe, love them while still moving on, that I'm going to love myself enough to see myself through the discomfort of that separation so that I have the chance to be loved back by someone else I could love. Mm-hmm. Because I don't, like, love is infinite to me. It's not depleting. It's not running out. Having loved someone so much isn't going to make my chances of loving someone else so much lower. Like, I have plenty of love to give. So I just have to be open and available and ready and healing so that I can accept that love when it comes in. So I'm not the person hurting other people. And right now that means loving myself through loneliness mm-hmm, at times. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Are you in a relationship now?
No.
That's okay.
Single woman alert.
Yes. Very, very much, very much single. I don't want to say slim pickings, but in a way it is, just because, you know, I'm a very, you know, liberal, outspoken person in the Deep South. You know, there are reasons that make it a little more challenging to connect with people, but I'm willing to be alone. I've really cultivated a life I love enough that I'm not waiting for someone to entertain me or to make me happy or to do anything but add value to my life. I'm not looking for them to bring the value. I have done that completely by myself.
Well, I would say to those who choose to stay, good for you for wanting to work it out, do the work, make it happen. I'm looking at you when I say that. When it's worth it, it is worth it. I love this that we're in. I love our marriage. I'm all for doing the work because I love you. This is just, you know, one of the great, I don't know, honors of my life. So.
I love that. That's beautiful.
It's not always perfect. Who doesn't, right? And we'll have issues and we'll have our moments, and yes, it is work, but it's beautiful work. And for those who choose to go, right on, you know, you gotta, like I said, honor your highest good. And I think there is, as what you were saying, there's freedom, there's empowerment, there's liberation, there's peace. You won't know it. You won't know it in the beginning, but eventually you'll realize that you've made the right decision. And I want to end this on a very high note here, because for those who do feel, you know, I'm compelled to go, I'm not getting my needs met, this is not happening. This is the upside to going. Okay? And I'll start you off to leaving. I'll start you off. Crystal, we learn to love ourselves better.
We really do, because when you're in a relationship and you're so focused on the other person, you are learning how to love them well. You're learning how to meet their needs. You're ignoring your own. When you start putting yourself first, you learn, what is it that I'm looking for right now? What is it that I need in this situation? What makes me feel good? Mm-hmm. What doesn't feel good? What are the supportive environments? Like right now, I don't think there is any environment in my life where I am around unsupportive people, because I don't allow that anymore. I don't tolerate that energy. Everyone that's in my life is someone who enjoys my company and I enjoy theirs. So I've developed stronger friendships out of it. But I got to know myself better from not investing all of my time and all of my energy into another person. Because some of that should have always been going to myself, even with putting effort into a relationship. So it really does give you that opportunity to love yourself better.
Okay. More benefits to leaving. We begin to develop a keen understanding of what truly supportive relationships should look like and how they should feel, right?
Yeah. And I have seen so many couples since that last time that I did have to walk away. I've seen so many supportive, loving, healthy, functional relationships that I know that they exist. I see them all the time. I see where the people, they wake up every day committed to loving each other, even when it's hard, because a lot of the time it's hard.
Yeah.
But they're connected. They're a team. And to see that and to know that it exists.
Yeah.
I'm like, why have I been settling for so much less than that? So it's a beautiful thing to know that that is out there. And it's not just out there. It's out there for all of us if we're willing to be a little lonely until that happens.
Sure. Okay. More good news. We begin to shift our focus to enriching our own lives rather than waiting around hoping someone else will do it for us.
Yeah, that's a huge one. You know, with time freed up where you're not in a relationship and you're not spending all your time in anxiety about the relationship, you have time to do whatever it is you want to do. It's, you know, jump out of an airplane, read 1,000 books, whatever thing is in your head that you've been wanting to do, but you never really have time for. Man, when you're not spending all of your hours just in a constant spiral of anxiety, yeah, all of a sudden you have the time and energy to do all of these beautiful things and make your life just really interesting and fun.
Yes, to that. Also, we get to work on our issues and unpack our baggage, which, you know, you never think you have to do, but boy, is it necessary work. And that's one of the, I'd say, sometimes the not so pleasant benefits of leaving, ending, breaking up, is that, yeah, you get to really look at your own self and unpack your shit.
I didn't really enjoy crying for 45 minutes a week in trauma therapy for an entire summer. But let me tell you, I would leave that office with such a weight off of my chest and free from things I didn't even know I'd been carrying through all my relationships. So as hard as that process was, the relief that I experience now is such a beautiful thing. I wish I could tell people that when they're spending 45 minutes like crying and trying to figure out how they're affording therapy, like hang on, because it's such a beautiful thing when you've unpacked those issues and then you're just ready to love people without all of that in the way.
Yes. Finally, and this kind of speaks to as much about having faith and trusting than anything else. We accept that sometimes we can love people better when we let them leave, that to love them from afar is preferable to letting them stay and keep hurting us. That requires like some balls and guts to say, I'm out of here. I will care about you. I'll pray for you. I'll think about you, whatever, but I cannot be with you. This is not healthy for me. So that is like, am I going to be okay? Am I going to be okay if I do this? Yes, you will be okay. More than okay.
You'll be okay. And there's something so beautiful about when you think of that person being able to just send all that love out, you know, and just hope that in some way they feel it. And even if they don't, that to know that you're not hurting yourself in the process, right, that you can still have love for all kinds of people that you realize are not healthy for you.
Right.
And
right.
That a beautiful, loving thing. It's a gift you're giving yourself in the process, yes, of saying, this is for you. I'm doing this for you. I can love them from here. The love doesn't go away, but I just need to love myself. And it really is. It's such a scary thing to face, but such a really wonderful outcome in the end.
Well said. And yes, I agree. Been there. We've all been there. Maybe not so much you, because you're perfect, of course. thank you for having this conversation with us.
Yes, Crystal.
It's so needed. And
thank you for having me back.
And you're the perfect person to talk to about it, because you know you've been there in the trenches. And
she's still in it.
And yeah, and hopefully, you know, someone will see your beautiful radiance and
everybody can
contact us and say, hey, who's that?
Well, let them contact.
Who's that cute chick on your show the other day?
Crystal, how can people
hook
find
me
you?
Me up. Oh, I'll tell you. Well, no, you tell you. You tell yourself. I was going to read more.
Facebook and Instagram at crystaljackson.writer. Those are my writing pages. And I'm on Medium, of course, under my name there. And always writing. Had new things
coming out
all the time.
Oh, my God. I've never seen anything like it. I am in awe. You are prolific. You not only do you write a lot, you're on it. You're so, yes. Like, I can't clap enough for those Medium articles. So great.
I have to sit down and say, what do I need to hear? Sometimes I am writing the advice I badly need, and I try to do it from the perspective of, you know, you'll have that friend who just gives it to you straight. They don't care if it hurts your feelings. Like,
yes.
I do that to myself sometimes.
Yeah.
Where I'm like,
tough
this
love,
is going to
be
a little tough love. It's going to hurt you.
Yes.
But by the end of it, after I've written all of that out, I'm at the answer that I need. And I know that if I need it, someone else does too. So it's just,
great.
I feel like,
well,
sometimes,
God bless,
like I'm punching myself repeatedly in the face. But it's helpful, because it's that hard truth that you need from the friend. And really, we need to,
yes,
be better friends.
Well, that's
for
how
ourselves.
You write like that. You write like a friend. You do. You're great. And you, I think you really do like provide a public service to single people. So do I, by the way. And shameless plug. Done Being Single, A Late Bloomer's Guide to Love. Done Being Single, A Late Bloomer's Guide to Love is my new book. And yes, it is filled with tough love and heartbreak and humor and tips and takeaways and
it's not just for
story
chicks,
no it's
guys and girls,
no, benefit
for, yes,
yeah,
it is for everyone. So yeah, buy it, get it, and enjoy it, and keep watching us at Done Being Single. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. You can find me at trevabrandonsharf.com, where you can get the book and learn more about me and my coaching services. I am tough love. I will kick your ass, but I will hold your hand. Okay. Great. Yes. I will kill you, but I will kill you softly. Okay.
Something to look forward to.
I love you.
Well, I love you too, honey.
Most of all. Thank you. I am in it to win it, babe. I am.
We're a good team.
I just love you so much.
Do you mind
if I just, it's a little gag worthy. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, there's
gagging. A little PDA here, everybody. But you know what? We're talking about this. This topic is just, man, when you find good love, it is, let me tell you about it. It's safe. It's secure. You're on the same page. You have a shared vision of the future.
Supportive.
This is all the stuff we just talked about. And I hope everybody finds it. It's beautiful.
It is beautiful. And I feel the same way. Right.
Okay, everybody can now throw up.
Okay, gag.
Oh, okay.
Let's say goodnight, Dick.
Good night, Dick. You're too young to...
That's a Laugh-In reference.
All right. Crystal, 1969.
Thanks, Crystal. Great seeing you again.
Thank you.
Nice to see you.
I'm Shadow Stevens with my friends Trevor and Robbie. See you next week on Done Being Single.